Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. And, of course, you can always find us, too, on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And you can always watch us. We are on your computer or your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. But I also say one of the best ways to stay in touch with what we do here on Good Things is to head on over to the Good Things Facebook group, where we like to share good headlines and start the good conversation of the day. Wink, wink, there's a fun topic to ask you about. But first, we want to get to something good that's happening in North Mississippi. Well, it's not North Mississippi, but Meridian, Mississippi. North to us, Brother Ben. But you guys have Builders for Christ. It's a missionary organization for Mississippi, and they're up to some good things. So welcome.
Well, thank you, Ms. Rebecca. Thank you so much for having us on your show today.
So how do you say, is it southeast, southwest Mississippi? How do you describe Meridian? It's not north. Which direction are you?
I'm going to call it central.
Okay, okay. We'll definitely go with that. And y'all have had a busy week this week with lots of folks coming into town to do some good. So help us out. Tell us what's going on there.
So first off, I'll just brag on what the Lord's doing here at Pleasant Grove. We have been to a place last couple of years. The Lord has been doing a work here at Pleasant Grove, and we've been growing and had a beautiful little country sanctuary here. And it just got to the place where we couldn't fit everybody in there for our Sunday morning worship services, and long story short, after a couple of years, we got to the place we knew we had a building project in store and began to work toward that, make plans toward that, and it just worked out this summer to where we could have Brother Paul Harris here, which is here with me, and Builders for Christ here this week, helping us to build our new sanctuary building.
Which definitely is a blessing, obviously, to have those that come in and to give of their time and their talents as their resources and to see this project come to fruition. So tell us a little bit about Builders for Christ. Are they an organization out of Mississippi, or did they come from outside of Mississippi in to help you guys?
I'm going to let Brother Paul speak on that.
Okay. Hey Brother
there.
Paul. How are you today?
Hi. I'm doing quite well. It's a little bit warm out here, but otherwise good.
Well, yeah, it's definitely summer in Mississippi. We're starting to feel it. And if you're out there doing some construction work, Brother Paul, then you are definitely sweating bullets.
Yep. Let me tell you a little bit about our group. We this group started here and there in Lauderdale County from State Boulevard Baptist Church and First Baptist Collinsville back in 1978. They went and did a project first week of June. And every year since then, this group has gone somewhere and helped a church or helped a mission or ministry to have a building, have a tool that they could use to further the kingdom of Christ. And so now we have grown to the point that I think this week we have had 160-something people who have come and gone, with an average of about 100 here this week. And a lot of people are from Mississippi coming and going, but there are people here from Oklahoma, from Louisiana, from North Carolina, and in many different parts of Mississippi.
Brother Paul, how did your network of volunteers grow beyond the borders of Mississippi? Because, I mean, you've had to at least have a track record of completing the work that you say that you're doing, or providing you know, at least a pleasurable experience along with some hard work for folks from Oklahoma or states away to want to come and be a part of what Builders for Christ is doing.
Pretty neat the way that's happened. We have been all over the United States working, and it seems that when we go, say, for instance, to Oklahoma, we have picked up people from the churches there, and then people from those churches begin to talk and others want to come. In North Carolina, we went and helped a group there, a church there, and there's a group that comes from Cashers, North Carolina every year, and a couple other places there in North Carolina. So really, we have just picked up people for the most part from places that we have been to help the church or the ministry.
So, Brother Paul, do you guys with Builders for Christ, do y'all respond to like things of natural disasters or fires or something like that? Or are you a little different where you look for those projects like what's happening there in Meridian with Pleasant Grove where they're growing or they're making a new build?
That's a good question. We plan the first full week of June to go and do just what we're doing here. We go and help, you know, either framing or finishing a building, whatever the need is. But we have smaller groups who throughout the year do other things like respond to disasters. But that's not with the whole group. Usually it's just localized people, but it's some of the same people that come on these mission trips.
Are you always looking for new volunteers, Brother Ben? Brother Paul, excuse me. Do they have to have like a construction background or experience?
Yeah, most of the people that are here do not have a construction background, any experience in that. And some of them have learned how to build coming to Builders for Christ. There are people who have come for several years and then go home and begin to build things themselves. And so we need people to carry lumber. We need people to, you know, those that cut, those that plan things, but we also need a lot of people to move a lot of lumber. And we have a whole support team that cooks for us, housing and feeding 100 people or so is quite a logistical challenge. And so we bring a whole team of cooks and people that handle logistic things.
So there's a place for everybody.
It takes everybody. Yeah, it takes everybody to make it happen.
To make this happen. So how did Builders for Christ hear about Pleasant Grove? How did you guys connect? Even though, obviously it's in state. Did they reach out to you guys? Did you hear through the grapevine that they had been praying and wanting to expand and finally getting that opportunity? How did y'all's two worlds collide?
Yeah, that happens differently every year. And this year it happened because one of our members who goes with us on Builders for Christ actually is a member of Pleasant Grove. And so he began to talk to me several months back about the project, and it just came about that way. Sometimes it's through our network of people that are a part of our group. You know, somebody hears of a project, and then other times people just contact us. Just contact us, say, hey, we're doing this. And it's difficult to make the logistics work. And so we get the opportunity to see God do some pretty amazing stuff every year, from finding the project that fits us to finding a place that can house as many people as we bring, finding a place that we can cook for that many people. And believe it or not, one of the biggest challenges is having showers to shower that many people. And so, there's always logistical issues, and God just seems to put them all together every year. And amazingly, he brings exactly the right people to do the different aspects of the project that we're on every year.
So I know y'all have been here since, y'all been in Meridian since Monday. Y'all kicked everything off Monday with Pleasant Grove. Where are we at now in the building, Brother Paul?
Well, we had a group, a small group that came last week trying to get everything ready for Pleasant Grove. It's about a 7,500 square foot building on the on the ground floor with probably about, 4,000 on the second floor. And it is just about completely framed. When we leave here tomorrow, I expect all of the framing to be done, and we're hanging sheetrock already. The electrical, we have electricians with us. They pulled all the wire, or at least in portions of the building,
and sheetrock's going on the wall.
Brother Ben, I know that it would have taken you, I wouldn't even say twice as long. I can't imagine how much longer it would have taken you guys to do that. Certainly not a week. So it's definitely been amazing to see what Builders for Christ has done in a short period of time. If people want to keep up with what you guys are doing, how can they do that?
So they could go to our Facebook page there at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. We're actually in Little Rock. I know there's a lot of Pleasant Groves around, so I'll be looking for the one in Little Rock. But, yes, we're blown away. I don't know how long this would have taken us without their help, but I know that we're blown away at how far it's come, and it's looking so good. We're just excited about how the Lord has just made all this come together. It's been a wonderful almost 2 weeks now getting to work with all of them, getting to meet all these new people. And it's been cool how God's just His Spirit's been here with us, and just having all the fellowship that we've had together, it's been wonderful.
Well, I love it. It's such a good story. I appreciate both your time, Brother Ben and Brother Paul, for sharing what Builders for Christ is doing, and keep up the good work, and I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All righty. What a good story to start off our Thursday here on Good Things. Stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good Things. We are streaming live, as always, over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. You can always find us, too, on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, but don't forget about watching us. We are always on your computer or your mobile device when you head on over to Supertalk TV. And don't forget about our Supertalk Mississippi news team. They are covering your Mississippi stories. If you would like to stay up to date, you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter. All you have to do is go to supertalk.fm/newsletter. My favorite over there is the Lifestyle tab under News, where you get to see all the good headlines going on there. Just a few for you to go and read more about. You got the Killer Brew International Rodeo. It's kicking off in Jackson coming up tonight, actually. And if you remember, we've had them on several times here on Good Things to talk about this unique rodeo event. And they have this thing called bull poker. And if you've never heard of it, then you want to go read more about it. And yes, fools come out of the stand and sit around a table and try to play poker while there's things with horns running around after them, and they're trying to stay focused on all the things. And I think the last player sitting alive wins. And so it should be thrilling and a lot of fun. There's also a good article over there, too, about keeping your children safe on social media, what parents should know to protect their kids. I think if you got kids and they've got social media, or even if you got kids who are heading into that phase of life for social media, you definitely should head over to supertalk.fm and give that a look-see one over. But one good way you can use social media, and even your kids could be a part of the Good Things Facebook group, we keep it family-friendly there, is being a part of our ever-growing family of friends over there. If you're on the Book of Faces, just type in Good Things with Rebecca Turner pops up. Click the join button, and then Rhino or myself will let you in. And today we're having a fun little debate about not all things are created equal. Again, we're keeping it fun, and we're keeping it family friendly. But there are those things in your house you refuse to buy any other brand but X, Y, and Z. There are things that paying good money for the better version pays dividends in terms of quality, and you just don't need to go the cheaper route. And then for other things, going the cheap route often is about the same, if not better, sometimes than the other. But the end of the day, not all, you fill in the blank, is created equal. You can also chime in on our C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. The first comment out the gate, what do you think it was, Rhino? You can cheat because you've seen it, but we all would agree, what is not created equal?
TP.
TP! Toilet paper!
No, do not.
under any circumstance. Go for the cheap stuff unless you've only got a few dollars in your pocket. Or maybe you just need a quick roll to throw in your backpack because you're going hiking or something like that. But the mainstay in your home should, everyone should agree on the quality and said purchased. Is this an item do you have a favorite brand? Or I guess...
Not particularly.
But like, do you go for the cheap stuff?
Not the cheap stuff. But I'm not... If it says 3-ply, I'm not in that tax bracket.
Oh, in terms of my, yeah, it can get a little bit.
Some of that stuff is way too frou-frou for you know what tickets.
So, watching a documentary a long time ago, or I guess, I don't know, documentary special or something, on some of the sales, I'm thinking the Sam's Clubs, the Costco's, what do you call those? Like the membership
generics.
Membership box stores.
Oh, big box stores.
Big box stores or whatever. I don't, and honest to gosh, I don't remember which one it was, but it was either Sam's or it was Costco. I can't remember. But they went all in on making high quality toilet paper that was the same as the higher priced brands that you know, but making it a steal. So in their mind, one of their business, I guess, strategies was to just have the best, cheapest, mass-produced toilet paper to
that
get.
Sounds like Costco.
That get folks in the door. Like you're gonna go there for you're not.
They
nobody,
do the same thing with wine.
Nobody walks into Costco or Sam's or any other said membership kind of big box store like that and walks out with one thing. Although I did see a man one time just buy one measly roll or something in the big cart, and I just wondered, you came all the way here for that? That's interesting.
Well, if you remember back in the before times when we were all dealing with the vid. And TP was a luxury that you were struggling to get your hands on.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I really did just
you would,
that
you
completely.
You would have people buying it at the gas station one roll at a time because that's all you were allowed to get.
Yes. Gosh, flooding back of the memories of that.
And there are still people that are using up the amount they hoarded at that point in time that caused all the headaches for
Please
everyone.
Do not identify yourself. Nobody needs to know that. Keep that information to yourself. If you hoarded toilet paper through 2020 to the point that you're in 2024 and you're now getting low in your closet, don't share that. That is not information that friends and family need to know about you. But
well, no, at this point, they might not be quite as mad as they would have been a couple years ago.
That is very true. Obvious, but to be honest, your family and friends probably already know that you were the one that was doing it.
Because you were never the one worried.
Because you were never the one worried.
We're down to the last roll and I can't find any. I've been to four places. Use it sparingly.
There is a level of panic that does come in every household, no matter you know what or who buys it. When you start to get low, especially if you're in a house full of girls, but you start to get low and it's like, oh, God, we're only down to one or two rolls of toilet paper, you make it priority the next day to figure out how to get said. And I mean, and it is one of those things that, look, it's a staple. You got to have it. You're not getting around it. I mean, if you do, that's your own business. I don't know what you do. But most families.
I mean, bidets exist.
Very few for a reason here in the United States.
They seem to be growing in popularity, and it might be because of 2020.
So it's one of those things for me. I would rather buy it in bulk, either at a big box store or a superstore or whatever, than have to pay twice as much for half the amount at a local grocery or a dollar store or convenience store. Now, I will, if that's my only way to get a few rolls home to, bridge the gap, but... You know, speaking of butts, that's something I would rather definitely have to buy, and I would prefer to buy in bulk. But I think we can all agree, regardless of the level or the quality you choose to purchase, we can all agree that not all toilet paper is created equal.
Yeah, everybody's got that line in the sand that they will only cross it if absolutely necessary.
But if that is your only option, you are grateful that you got something. Like you never got down and said, oh man, nah, I'm not gonna go with that. I'm just gonna sit here and figure it out another way. Nobody, you cussed your way through it. You said, dang, nabbit, this da 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 da. But as you were pulling on it, trying to get it thick enough to do whatever you needed to do, nobody just said, nah, not today. I'm just gonna forego this crappy toilet paper. But you have bought some before and said, never again, Satan, like I'm not I'm not ever doing that again.
Like, oh, yeah.
I will get through what I paid, and then I will make sure that that particular brand never comes back.
Which, that's the same thought process that made me come up with mine, because I've got a whole 500-pack of them. I'm going to use them. But in my hurry to get home from the store with what I bought, I didn't pay attention to what I bought. And I got the ones I don't like. And that's Q-tips. I'm not big on the whole name brand or generic. Generics work. I just don't want the ones with the plastic middle. They feel too flimsy.
Yeah, I get that.
But now I have, to do the math real quick, I've got like 470-something of them left. So it's going to be a while.
Do you use one Q-tip a day, or do you do one for each ear?
I actually do three.
Where? I don't want to
Each ear gets one, and then I do one more pass with another one, one on each side.
Okay.
Or the different sides of it.
Learn something new every day about our buddy Rhino.
Well, I mean, so I'm constantly doing stuff 400? With my ears here. So.
What's 3 divided by 400? That's like 100 days. So you got like 3 months worth of Q-tips, 3 months and some change.
Oh, yeah.
So you only buy Q-tips, what, two and a half times a year? Look at this. Look at this math spitting out so quickly today. Look at that. Common Core, take that. Darren and Jackson said, I have bidets in all my restrooms, and they are a game changer. I don't know if I've ever used one.
I've heard people that swear by them. I've heard people that had a traumatic experience with them.
It's water, right?
Yeah. Like it's for those that don't know, it looks very much like if it's a standalone bidet, which those are much more rare than the ones you just attach to a toilet. But a standalone bidet looks like a toilet and a sink had a baby. Because it's a toilet, but it's got water that comes up out of it like a water fountain. Whereas the ones you attach to a toilet, they tend to attach on the screws that hold the toilet seat down. And it's a little device you can turn on. And it's water jets that are from the back of the toilet and they shoot up to clean you. And then...
Do you do what you need to do? And then stand up and shimmy to the bidet to do what it needs to do. And then shimmy.
When you have the separate one, yes, I believe that is the modus operandi.
If I was, I would prefer the all-in-one option. Don't really want to shimmy one way or the other. That's when you're out of toilet paper and you're having to shimmy to the cabinet to try to get another roll. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Rebecca Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
And we're down we go.
Welcome back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm, also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. You can always find us, too, on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. But don't forget about watching us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. Coming up tomorrow, that's Friday, in the Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar and Sports Talk Mississippi, which comes up after Good Things. They are going to be at the Greenville Country Club for the Delta Soul Celebrity Golf and Charity event. There'll be tons of celebrities on hands from actors and musicians and sports stars. So that's the Delta Soul Celebrity Golf and Charity event that's coming up in Greenville tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday, if nothing else. Yay! Not all days are created equal. That's what we're talking about today. Not all blank are created equal. I think if you're in that sort of traditional working week mode, you definitely lean towards looking towards Friday a little bit more than a Monday. But maybe if you're retired or you've just kind of created the life that you've always dreamt of, then all seven of them days are just as equally wonderful as the next day.
And if you work in the service industry, you probably look at Friday like, oh, man.
Right.
Here's it's Friday again.
Here comes the late shift, pulling a double, da-da-da-da-da-da. Hope the crowds are great. So everybody kind of has a different perspective when it comes to, you know, the way that they look at things and even how they sort of look at what in terms has quality, because when we say all things are not created equal, that just means you lend to one brand or one thing, something over something else. And we were talking about
is it the Germans that have a saying about this, where it's if you, I think it's the Germans, maybe it's the Dutch, but they're one of those countries over there. They have a saying where if you buy cheap, you buy twice.
With toilet paper, tissue paper. Paper towels, almost any papered good, that is probably gospel, because it's the thinner things and you end up using twice as much. So, like, even if you don't want to pay for the higher quality or the thicker brands, that's fine, but you are going to have, like, if you've ever tried to pack grease up or clean up a spill or something with, like, really cheap paper towels, you're like,
you go through half the roll and you're like, I'm still cleaning.
Yes, it's like, I don't even know what this, what is this?
I'm just smearing it around at this point.
Now, some will tell you, like, in commercial settings, like, because that's where you find the worst paper towels and the worst toilet paper, where you're like, you literally can play music with that you're trying to do whatever you need to do. They'll say it's more environmentally friendly and it flushes better and all the sort of things. And
right.
So, you know, I don't know. But you would think that, yeah, even though it's a one-ply or two-ply, when you're going through those large cheese wheel size rolls so quickly, you would think that, hey, let's just give them a little bit more. I will say this, though, like, especially with being in a house with young girls, you know, you get really excited whenever they age out of diapers. Yes. We have aged out of needing that. We are potty trained. I have gotten extra money in my wallet until you walk in and you watch young daughters use toilet paper. And you're like, whoa. Like $5 of toilet paper just went down the drain. You are not even 3 foot tall. You do not need that much toilet paper for one average trip to the restroom. And so that is a constant just moment of teaching in our house, and I know many parents feel the same kind of, I don't need that much.
But kind of on the opposite end of stuff like toilet paper and paper towels and other things like that, where they're single-use items, so you're trying to get the best bang for your buck for that single use. On the opposite end of that spectrum, you've got the buy-it-for-life mentality people, mm-hmm. where they're looking for that one thing that they can invest in and maybe probably spend a pretty penny on it, but it's going
to
last for the rest of their life.
That used to be furniture.
Furniture is one that a lot of people look for. Appliances is one a lot of people look for. Shoes. There are a lot of people out there that they will spend through the nose, the way I look at it, because I'm not a shoe person, but they'll spend a whole lot of money on a pair of shoes that they expect to last them for the rest of their life.
May change the soles out.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. But if you think about it, like my parents still have, we called it Hard Rock Maple because my great aunties really invested in furniture. And now I guess we call them antiques, but back in their day, I mean, they looked at it as like, shoot, we're going to buy one dining room table and then pass it down to, you know, Sally and or Bob, and they're going to have it in their house and they're going to have it in their house. And some of you have that furniture in your home that was hand built and made out of actual real wood 100 plus years ago, or, you know, 60 years ago or so. And it looks the same as it did then if it was taken care of. Where you fast forward now, you move out of house and you have, it's not an estate sale. You can't put that nice little tag on it. Like, there are estate sales, and those are nice pieces. But what you're doing is like a garage sale. It's like, hey, come get this plywood, you know, cabinet that we put together. Just someone come get it. I don't want to. It's not worth me moving it to the next place.
Yeah.
You know, that we go in that way. Some people do that with, you mentioned appliances. If you still have, and some of you do still have, like, ancient refrigerators that have never gone out. We still have a dryer, God bless it, that was my great aunt's. It trucks a lot, like the timer doesn't work. So you have to put a timer on something else to let you know when you put the clothes in the dryer.
But that, I bet it dries better than anything you've had.
There ain't a wrinkle in your jeans whenever. You ain't getting them either. But there's not a wrinkle in your jeans whenever you pull them out. Mike says hand tools. Now, that's not my department in which I spend a lot of time.
But that is something that you would like to make an investment in so that you don't have to buy it again. Because when you get out of the single-use items and you get into stuff that you're going to use on a regular or semi-regular basis, that difference in quality really starts to stand out.
I agree with that. On a lighter note, Brandon says chocolate syrup, Hershey's for life.
They're not wrong.
What's the difference? I'm not a chocolate. Like
Hershey's
not...
has a richness to it that no generic chocolate syrup is ever going to be able to give you. The closest you're going to get is Nesquik, but Nesquik, for all of its goodness, doesn't hold a candle to Hershey's syrup.
Not all coffee makers are made equal. I like the old-fashioned percolator method best, someone shared.
I saw a percolator-style contraption the other day that it's probably a couple $100s, which means I would never buy it because I'm not that big a fan of espresso. But it made espresso on a regular element, like a heating element, like a eye on on a stove. It made espresso upside down. So like in a percolator, it's percolating up. This, it used the pressure in the bottom of it to push the hot water through the coffee grounds, like espresso machines push it through with pressure. It did that on a stovetop in a little contraption about 6 to 8 inches tall.
That's neat. The only percolator I've ever seen, I think in action, or that like up close, I would have to say never, but that I recall. And my mom and dad had one for camping. And you would get it hot, and it would have like, and it would like beep, 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 beep whenever it started. But sadly, I didn't drink coffee then.
For lack of a better example, percolators, the coffee can be a bit harsh compared to drip coffee or pour over coffee or any other fancy modern methods of making coffee. Percolator is going to give you a little bit more acid in your cup of coffee, so it's going to be a little bit more to take in, but it's still way better than cowboy coffee where you just, I put the grounds in there, put the water in there, and we heated it up.
My mother-in-law puts instant coffee in her coffee pot. I've yet to figure it out other than that it does. And she's listening. I love you, Linda. But basically, instead of just putting it in the cup, she puts it in a filter in the coffee maker. So when it runs, I mean, it runs over. It still makes, you know, coffee. But I remember when I first came into that family, I was like, this, what do you, you know, there are other ways. Okay. Good cup of coffee. Thanks. I appreciate it. It is a good cup of coffee. It's just the way they've necessarily always done it. I don't have the time or the attention to do a pour over. Like when I wake up, I want my coffee already made. I don't, I mean, maybe the second or third cup, I might could have time to sit there and wait. But if I had to sit there and watch it get ready to then sort of make, like, I've lost my Jesus juice opportunity. I need it.
Especially when you get all in the weeds with the details of, well, the water temperature should be between this range and this range, and it's like 3-degree range. I'm sorry. My brain's not working if I'm needing coffee, so I'm not going to be able to hit that range of temperature for this boiling water.
I do appreciate those that have the time and the energy to do it, though. Keith in Meridian says he has a 70s Army Green fridge in my washroom. It outperforms my stainless steel one. Absolutely, it does. Like when they made refrigerators and ovens and all those things back in the 60s and 70s, they expected them to, like, that was it for the life of the house. You did not need another one. I don't know if appliances turn over that quickly. They have not lost as much as furniture. Furniture, I think, you've seen the biggest downgrade in quality in terms of over time. But, all right, stick with us. We got more for you up next.
It's Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
I want to follow where she goes. I think about it.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget we are always streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Take time to download that Supertalk Mississippi app. You can find us there. We're always on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. Of course, we're on Supertalk TV on your computer or your mobile device. And the Miss Mississippi pageant, it's happening right now in Vicksburg. They had their first night of prelim competitions last night, but the winner will be crowned coming up Saturday night. So all this week, you can listen to Gallo Middays and hear on Good Things for updates throughout the competition. Our coverage is brought to you by Covington County Hospital, where your health care matters. So that's covingtoncountyhospital.com. And joining us now is our current Miss Mississippi, Miss Vivian O'Neill, until she passes that crown for the 2024-2025 Miss Mississippi coming up Saturday. So welcome back, Vivian.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
I know this has been a whirlwind of a year for you, and it all winds down for you again, right where it all started, back in Vicksburg. So what's it feel like being back in the town where just a year ago you were one of those hopefuls on the stage looking for the crown, not knowing that Saturday night your life would change, but now you have had the year of being Miss Mississippi?
Right. You know, it's really weird because it doesn't feel real. It doesn't quite feel like Miss Mississippi. And I think, not in a bad way, but I think it's just because for so many years I was a contestant. And obviously you're only the outgoing Miss Mississippi one year if that's what happens. And so it doesn't really feel real just yet. I'm having a good time. You know, we have an incredible class this year of young ladies who are out to take the crown from me, and I'm just really excited to be here, just trying to soak up every moment.
And the moments are happening fast, quick, in a hurry. I know last night was the first night. I think it was talent. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Vivian. What's coming up tonight?
So tonight, each one of our groups will compete in different areas of competition. So I believe that Group B will be doing talent tonight. I think that Group C does fitness, and then I think Group A does evening gown and on stage question. I don't know if that's 100% correct, but each group will do something different every single night, just kind of based on where they're at. But I'm excited for a really good show. We had a great turnout, a great production last night, so hoping to repeat that again tonight.
Well, that should excite folks if they've been wondering whether they should come down to Vicksburg and check out one of the prelims. It sounds like if you come, you get a little taste of everything. I know maybe in years past they've done all things kind of at the same time, so it sounds like they're trying something a little bit different. And it's working, Vivian, but it all leads up to Saturday. So are there still tickets available for Saturday?
I don't have the answer to that question. I'm not really sure, but you can call the pageant office. So if you go to miss-mississippi.com, there will be a phone number on that page where you can call and find out how many tickets are left. And if you're unable to come in person, you can also live stream it on missmisslive.com. Or if you're in Mississippi, it will be Saturday, the final night, will be on your local TV station.
Well, I do know this, Vivian. If it's sold out, that's a good thing. If there's tickets less and you want to go, that's a good thing. So either way.
Yes, it's a win-win either way.
It is a win-win either way. What would you say to the girls if they were listening to Good Things about this week, knowing that you've done this or been there a time or two in their shoes and now on the other side? What kind of wisdom would you impart to them or the teams that support them behind them are going down to watch and root for them?
Yeah, I would encourage any young lady who meets the criteria of being able to compete, I would really want to encourage them to do that. I think this production this year is a really beautiful example of all of the positive things that pageantry has to offer young women, specifically the Miss America organization, and so I would really encourage them to take that leap. We've got a ton of new girls this year, and I think that speaks to what people see in this organization and why they want to be a part of it. So I would really encourage them to take that leap. I've really tried to encourage the delegates this week to just have fun, to press play. Don't worry about all of the prep. They've already done that. They've already taken care of that. But just to press play and have a good time this week.
What are you most looking forward to this week? Other than crowning the new Miss Mississippi, is there a special tradition or moment within the week that you're going to get to enjoy one more time, Vivian?
As much as I have tried to avoid the super emotional parts of this week, I know that they're inevitable. So I am really looking forward to my farewell, which will happen on Friday night. I will give my long farewell speech, and there'll be a slideshow, and I'm going to dance for my farewell because that was my talent in all the years that I've competed. So I think that's going to be a really special moment to just take a second to recognize and thank all of the people that have been part of this journey with me.
Waterproof mascara? Is that part of your repertoire?
Yes, every night. Every night.
All right, Vivian, I appreciate your time. I know things are busy and scurrying around there in Vicksburg. Remind us that website folks can go to so they can get their tickets and find out more information.
Yes, you can go to miss-mississippi.com, and there's a shop section if you want to buy a set of tickets, and then the phone number for the pageant office will also be there, so you can call the pageant office for that. And then you can also watch the live stream on MISS, MISSlive.com, all preliminary nights as well as Saturday. But if you are local on Saturday, it will be on your local TV station.
All righty.
8 p.m.
Thank you so much, Vivian. You guys stick with us. We got more for you up next. You got Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I'll meet you right here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.